WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. My guest is one of the Russian writers who was punished for his work by the communists and is now thriving in the new Russian freedom. Viktor Ерофеев's work was banned after he edited a 1979 anthology of works by dissident writers. Now he's the author of a best-selling novel that breaks political and sexual taboos from the communist era. His book, Russian Beauty, is about a bisexual woman and the affair she has with diplomats, dissidents, journalists, and KGB officers. Viktor Ерофеев also hosts a TV show in Russia on the arts, literature, and post-Soviet culture. He says Soviet culture is dead.
You know, the Soviet culture ended before the end of the Soviet Union, just because all structures died with the perestroika era. And literature, arts, the whole culture just stopped to be Soviet because nobody wanted them to be ideological. That's why we have to start a new culture, post-Soviet, post-communist culture. And in Moscow, I have a TV show and where I try to help this new culture to emerge.
What do you do on your TV show?
Well, I invite people for talk show. We shoot new galleries. We speak with many people about what they want to have from the culture. We show new bookstores. We talk to booksellers. So many things I'm doing there.
How much freedom do you have on your TV show? Can you say anything? Can you criticize the government?
We are completely free. You know, I think that even my thought is that we are more free than in the West, because you know, when you have a new freedom, completely just born freedom, then you could allow yourself to do everything you want. And so there is no censorship, there is no control. We can even use dirty words, you know, what's a little bit maybe strange for Americans. And we could also show rather sexual things in my show, and also it's not forbidden. So no political taboos, no social taboos, no sexual taboos, no forbidden themes. Everything is possible. It's really something very special for us, because only 2-3 years ago we were slaves, you know.
What kind of sexual things have you shown on your program?
Oh, we could speak about lesbian clubs, with homosexual clubs, which are now appear in Moscow. We could speak about any problem, you know, concerning sex. And sex and pornography in culture, also a new theme for us, because before it was completely forbidden. The last two themes were forbidden in the former Soviet Union were Lenin and sex, and Lenin sex and the sex or a sexual life of Lenin too. Yeah.
So do you have large ratings for your TV show? Do a lot of people watch it?
Yeah. I think 100 million people.
Whoa.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all national Russian TV. It's a second program which people could see in every town, every city all around Russia.
So do people think of your show as being intellectual or sleazy because there's sexual discussion on it?
The both, I think. But but still, you know, the letters, we got many letters. They want me to be intellectual in a way that they want to think with me, to think about new culture. They don't want me to just to go after them, but not to follow them, not to have some special messages, but they want me to be a little bit smarter than they are. You know, this is also very typical for Russia, that in TV we don't like people who follow you know, middle class interests. We prefer people who who could say something unusual and sometimes even irritating, you know. So it's like this in Russia.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Russian writer Viktor Arifayev, and his novel Russian Beauty has just been published in the States. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Russian writer Viktor Arifayev, author of the novel Russian Beauty. I want to ask you a little bit about your own background as a writer. I know in 1979 you edited a collection of pieces by dissident writers.
Right.
And you published this in an edition of 12.
Yeah.
It was confiscated by the KGB. What was your punishment?
Oh, the punishment was very strict. You know, I decided to organize this collection just to protest about completely absurd censorship in the Soviet Union. So I invited 23 Russian writers, as well as John Updike, who was our American guest, to this collection. And so we published it illegally, undergroundly, just to show that there are a lot of writers, older and younger, vanguardist and classical, more conservative writers, who couldn't be published in the Soviet Union because of aesthetical, because of political reasons. And so the authorities took our initiative very, very aggressively. They thought that this is the beginning of new Prague Spring of the 68. And so they took all measures against us. I was kicked out from the Writers' Union. It meant that I started to be an ex-Soviet writer, ex-writer. And I thought at that time that it will continue till the end of my life. And it would continue if Gorbachev didn't come to power. Then they kicked me, I lost my job as a researcher in the Institute of Folk Literature. So I've lost all my jobs in Russia. But not only this, my own father also lost his job. He was ambassador to Vienna, Austria at that time. So he had to return to Moscow, and he lost his job as a diplomat.
Were you told by the KGB that if you didn't renounce your own collection, that your father would lose his job? Were you given that opportunity to denounce your own work?
Yes. They gave me such a nice opportunity to denounce my own work. And when my father returned to Moscow, he had to go to the Central Committee of Communist Party and to KGB every day when they told him, you have to press on your son. And so he so-called worked with me for 40 days, receiving his ambassador's salary in dollars, just talking to me. And then he understood, and it was a very big relief for me, that the pressure and the hate for me from KGB and from the party is so big that even if I write a letter, he'll never be sent to Vienna again, just because I'm somebody whom they don't want to have in Soviet literature. And so one day he told me one very important thing. He said, listen, Viktor, I think you shouldn't write a letter. I said, why? Because he said, you know, I'm already a dead man, politically dead man in our family. But if you write the letter, you'll be the second dead man in our family.
So what kind of work did your father do after you decided to not denounce your work?
Oh, you know, it was a grotesque job, because after I said that I won't write the letter, so he stayed in Moscow and doing nothing. So I decided to write another letter, but not a letter of apologize, but a letter of blackmail, if we want to Brezhnev. When I said that my father is my father and I am, and if you want to punish me, not my father. And in this letter I said that if my father won't have a job in Moscow as a diplomat, that I don't know what I'll do with myself. So I hinted that maybe I'll commit a suicide. And I managed to send this letter to Brezhnev because, you know, my family was a privileged family and we still had good contacts with the top people. And so Brezhnev read this letter, but there was a big pause during 2 weeks, and at that time I thought, so I have to hang myself. Well, I didn't know what to do with myself, and it was not very nice time. But then he called Gromyko and said, "Okay, Mr. Rafiev could work as Minister of Foreign Affairs, just like a diplomat." So my father was invited to work, but when he came, he got his study there, his office, he got his secretary, but they never put just a paper on his table. So he had to read Pravda, our official newspaper, for 3 or 4 years, Pravda and other official newspapers, doing completely nothing, receiving good salary, pretending working, but doing nothing. It was a really very special. It was very special thing. It was big Soviet grotesque.
Now, your father had been Stalin's French interpreter and also the personal assistant to Stalin's foreign minister, Molotov. What do you think it was like for your father to work for Stalin?
You know, my Stalin loves my father loves Stalin a lot because in their relationship, their official relationship, Stalin was always very, very, very kind to him, you know, and he always talked to him about his family, and, you know, about his background, about his studies in the Leningrad University. So for many years, even after Khrushchev destalinization of Russia, my father repeated that, you know, of course, Stalin is a killer, a murderer, but you know, but he is very human, very, very, very human. Now he doesn't think so anymore, but this tradition of love for Stalin in my family was very strong and very bizarre. And I must tell you that I had a very happy Stalinist childhood because of the fact that my father was a Stalin interpreter. We had big limousines, good country houses, fantastic apartment, a black caviar every morning I had, and so on and so on. It was very strange, bizarre childhood after the war in Russia, in Moscow, very gray, gloomy Moscow, and we were exceptional.
It sounds like you've decided to see the absurd aspects of this.
Yeah, yeah. It was completely absurd, you know, this situation. Now I understand it perfectly because people around us were very, very poor at that time, really poor. And we with these black limousines and black caviar, we look like, you know, like completely out of that world.
Let me ask you, if after the KGB confiscated your journal, your magazine, if your father had said, "Please apologize because I want to keep my job," would you have done it?
It was a really awful situation for me because, as I told you, my father did a lot for me. You know, because of him, I spent 3 years in Paris as a child. Then I could travel in Africa, in Europe, everywhere I wanted to travel. I had dollars. I had opportunity to see the world, you know. And then politically I killed my father. So, you know, I'll tell you one thing. When my father called me from Vienna to tell that they recalled him from Vienna, in one night, in the morning, I saw gray hair on my head. You know, just I was only 30. It was just a shock for me. But at this from the other side, I understood that I'll never write the letter of apologies, just because it will kill me forever. And so the situation was just awful. And I'm very grateful to my father that he told me himself, don't do it.
Are you confident that Russia will keep heading toward democracy as opposed to either back to communism or to some kind of authoritarian rule that would still make it hard for writers like you to have the freedom that you want, not to mention the other freedoms that you want?
Right. You know, I'm sure that we don't have, fortunately, we don't have this way back to communism. With communism, it's finished. With authoritarian regime, it's more complicated. We have many powerful forces in former Soviet Union which want less democratic, more totalitarian or authoritarian regime. But still, I'm very optimistical.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Viktor Ерофеев's novel Russian Beauty is published in the States by Viking. This is Fresh Air.